continue these evening services, the sign of our hearts, that holy word, which is written in James' Epistle, the second chapter, verses 20-26. This holy word is written in Jesus' name. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without work is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith broke with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and that the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and was imputed into him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messenger and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. Amen. We heard from Epistle of James, a short text. James' book is a lot of times questioned. If God clarifies this part of the text to us, maybe we can find why this questioning has happened. First of all, the writer of this epistle has been kind of in a seeking mind. Strongly, we believe that the writer of this letter is the brother of our Lord Christ. In that family there were many children, and this Jacob, or James, who's supposed to be the writer of the letter, whom Jesus appeared after his resurrection. So James and his brother, they didn't believe during the time when he lived and they were, that he's the savior of the world. The faith was born after his death. And in that living faith, the James, the writer of this letter, the journey. He was belonging to the holy ones of the Jerusalem congregation. He was the leader of the congregation in Jerusalem. And this James had a mark, very strongly gifted grace gift. He was said to be the Jacob. James righteous. He was through a prayer, and he had the strength to pray on behalf of the Jewish congregation, that they would also could understand that living faith which James had received into his heart when he met Lord Jesus. his brother. The history information, or the past information, tells about that leader of the congregation of Jerusalem. He was, during the morning dawn of New Testament, he faced the same death of martyr. The Jews, they brought him before the wall of Jerusalem. Do you still believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? And James answers, I can't give up that opinion. He wants to confess Jesus Christ as his own Savior. And they tell that they dropped him from the wall, and then they hit with the sticks until he dies. So he received from fate to seeing, from the fate to perfect joy. This letter is from another part, questionable. Martin Luther didn't recognize James' book in that order that would have been better for this letter. So he called this epistle of James as kind of like a hay straw epistle. It was not that the best food of God's Bible. The reason why he was measuring this way, it comes when we go on through this text. Thirdly, we could say that this letter is being criticized, so that is kind of diversifying. He jumps from one topic to another, and the reader has difficulties to get a holistic picture of this letter. And then Luther especially was criticizing this epistle. He said that this epistle is not driving the essential message of Christ. Pretty strongly said by Luther. This book of James, it doesn't drive Christ. When we then go through shortly this text, we heard at the very beginning, on the first verse, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without work is dead? And that was one of the very difficult parts in this James epistle. Luther had read strongly the Paul's letters, and especially according to Paul, God gives us the righteousness only through faith, only through mercy, only through because of Christ. And now James talks here that the faith without works is dead. All this first verse and this theme that is coming again here in James' letter. Luther was criticizing against. And he is a good friend. He is one of the researchers, one of his students. Plankton started to teach his professor, the Jacob, or the James doesn't talk about the works that are making one righteous or saves, but he talks about the fruits of the faith. Although he said that the faith without works is dead, he talks against the dead faith. James here before, he writes on the first chapter, on the verse 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In my mind, in this place, James is in a right track. So God will give a person a righteousness, true gospel, through his holy word. Comes to my mind at this very verse, tens of years back, I was sitting at the summer services bench. God, children, had spoken to me, told about the kingdom of God, and told how there God gives the righteousness for the, yeah, even the sinner. As a high school kid, I was sitting there alone in the tent, and under the bridge, the sermon, God's word stopped me, touched me, and I asked the next to me and the service bench who were sitting there, does it belongs to Christ to me as well? These service friends, they proclaim the gospel. So that I heard with my own ears. Just like Luther has said clearly and thought. He says, first of all, from the spoken word and be really heard if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, because through the word and with the word he enlightens the heart and affects the faith. The faith doesn't born without the hearing the gospel and outspoken sermon through which it grows and is prepared. This is so clear how Luther teaches us we need to hear the gospel with our own ear, that the through the Holy Spirit is proclaimed and through which we receive this living childhood of kingdom of God. I was for a long time seeking the road into the house of God, into the kingdom of God, and this gospel relieved me. In order, when I heard it, new point of view in my whole life. And in addition, Luther makes it clear that this forgiveness, the power of forgiveness of sin, is with everybody who have been helped within the faith. Everybody can proclaim to one who have not before believed, but also to the journey friends who feel that their burden of the sin, the tiredness and weariness, they can proclaim this gospel. And he says that this sound is not a silent one. until the very last day. This shall echo this gospel with the real voice until the final day. To you all the sins are forgiven. Be happy and of good cheer. This is how Luther teaches us. And this part of a text we read, as we heard, takes an example of this works. Takes Abraham. That Abraham to which God talked, go out of your country, out of your home, from your father's family, go to that country which I show to you. Abraham is obedient in faith, and he leaves, takes the trip, and Abraham's life goes on in a new way. They hadn't had a child. They expected that or waited that for a long time. Abraham was already 90 years. And God again speaks to Abraham. He says, look, the stars in the sky, if you can count them, so great of a number will be after you. Abraham believes, in spite it looks impossible, he believes that God's word. So the Holy Bible gives us to understand that he was righteous because of his faith. And Bible tells that he was God's friend. There's not any other human where it was said that he was God's friend. Of Moses, he was a servant of God, but Abraham was God's friend. Abraham's trial goes on. We heard in our text, was not Abraham, our father, justified by word when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Again, James used this word. We come back to that later. But Isaac's sacrification was very familiar with each of us. We just go through it shortly. Abraham loved that only son, a son Isaac, loved his father. And now God orders, take this son to be sacrificed. Abraham took the donkey, took the woods, took the son Isaac, took the fire and the knife. And he leaves towards the land of the Moriah, which God had ordered him to go on the third day. It happens again, something. The servants, they stay in a stop place, and Abraham puts the woods on Isaac's back and takes the fire and the knife, and they walk. Son is wise. He asks his father, where's the object of sacrifice? We don't see it. And Abraham have to say, God will give the one that will be sacrificed. And then they go on. and they come to the place where the sacrification shall take place. Abraham sets the stones, puts the woods, and after that, father's heart has to set his dear only son on that altar. We remember when God stopped that situation, the angel shouts, "Don't touch your hand upon that son." You really believed, you loved God. With your word, you showed this. And that's how God chooses a different object to be sacrificed, a lamb that is in the bush. In those words, you can see Abraham's strong faith to what God awaits from us. This faith we need in this time. We need obedience to God's word, according to its advice, although this time, or maybe because of it, this world time is changing, its values are changing, but God's word will remain through the ages. We can put our faith on that. Here, in this sacrifice of James, it's a strong comparison to God and his son, which God didn't change the whom was sacrificed, but God sacrificed his only one son on behalf of our sins. He carried it to Golgotha. Our sins, that heavy cross, which we can today in these summer services rejoice. Jesus Christ has died on behalf of you and me and each of us, the sins of us. There is a great, powerful biblical message in his Abraham's history. And as a lot of times here in the Holy Scripture, it's in strengthening the matters with the different case. Here, it's surprisingly, it was taken to the side of Abraham, Rahab, maybe for knowing, he wanted to compare Abraham and Rahab. I don't know how much you remember Rahab. We live in the time of King Josiah. Moses was not allowed to bring his people to the promised land, but it was Joshua who did it. And the book of Joshua tells how he sent two spies or messengers to check out what the land is. And those people stayed overnight at the house of Rahab. We remember how the king of Jericho knows now there's some spies, and they've gone and they knew where those spies were at the home of Rahab. We remember how Rahab protects these spies. Rahab tells, I've heard, maybe read, how wonderfully God have taken these Hebrews across the Red Sea. And he tells this spy, God has been on your side. The book of Joshua doesn't clearly understand in what part Rahab received the grace of repentance, but that belief worked, effected, that he protected those spies. As we remember, he or she hides them on the roof of his house and covers them with the linen. When the counter spies of King of Jericho comes to the home, so Rahab doesn't tell where they are, where those Hebrew spies are. One, Rahab is asking, when you come to conquer Jericho, she believes that you will save herself and the families. And it happens. And the walls of Jericho are broken. They fall because of word of God. And Rahab and his family are saved. They agreed upon that there's going to be on the window a ribbon of blood color that tells about Jesus Christ and his dead on cross. And because of this ribbon, Rahab and his family are saved, just like us. Because of that dead of Jesus Christ, Jesus was wearing purple red hood when his pathway started. These kind of matters. Here in our text, we're speaking about Abraham and Rahab. What do you think? Do we come? Are we saved because of the work of ours? I believe that many of you, not from the works, but the living faith, can be seen as the fruits of the faith. It was shown by Abraham in a strong obedience, but it was sown also in the life of Rahab, as we in our text it is said, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. At the end, Abraham, Jacob, or James sees that he believed in God. Through this faith, he was righteous, not through the work, but the living faith brings some fruits. We can see in our daily life, in our life, in spite of we being criticized that the James epistle doesn't match with the Paul's in the letter to Galatians, They talk about the love and the peace and the joy and the friendship and all that what we, each of us on the earth, help to the faith, we do the journey. These are the fruits of the faith. Acheka, or the James Bible, there's a different kind of a writers. Peter talks about to be awake. James was not apostle, but he talks about these works as the fruits of faith. And John talks about love. And Paul talks about faith. And all these are linked together strongly. And as we've heard different kind of sermons here, each of us have the same spirit of love, pinpointing a little bit different kind of a point of view, but all are unified to Holy Word. Luther, at the end of the day, when he was discussing with Melanchthon, he was happy that there's not contradiction with Paul and his understanding of faith. He took the Augsburg's Confession protection that gives also to this criticized epistola its own place, and says that Paul's and James does not have any unclear matters. The works, they are the fruits of faith in this James text. But we remember how our doctrine father Luther, when he was fighting at that time against the Pope and the Roman Church, he brought the shining gospel in this little Finland as well. But it was a lot of times in doubts and temptations. Well, that gospel will be, is that spreading? Can he himself believe in faith during those hard times? A lot of times he went with his friend Philip and he said, let's sing a song. And together they were singing psalm. God is our fortress. Those words strongly echoed and they gave again these brothers strength and courage to proclaim the pure and living and fresh gospel. So it is this holy word being proclaimed. It comes to my mind as well. The preacher of the Lapland, he was about to leave to Lanavara services. He wanted to went through the one hill. When he was coming down that hill, a ski was lost, and it was a real hard cold weather, but the journey ends there before the destination, and it is told that they found him Bible underneath his head, hands crossed, just like he had worked for the kingdom of God. So he until the end. He wanted to do the journey and to start it, faith. We are still, even tonight, on the journey. We're on the road. We know how sin attaches and makes our journey slow. And we, each of us, we experience how gospel is the only comfort. God asks tonight as well, are we obedient to the Holy Word of God? Do we want to trust, live according to that word? So many matters in this world questioning our own reason, flesh and blood, are pretty much linked to the world. May God give the great ball strength to fight as a living child of God in this so strange feeling world. Even tonight, you dear journey friends, under many difficulties, many temptations, maybe very tired, you've dragged yourself to this tent to listen to the Word of God. God's grace belongs to each of you. That's why you can be of good cheer and believe yourself bad to be holy. In Jesus' name, there's some power. You can believe in Jesus' holy name and dear atoning blood. All the sins are forgiven until peace, joy, and freedom. This is how God in this kingdom, He lifts us and carries and He takes us, each of us, to the end, to home. God may bless you and keep you in this kingdom as children in children's kingdom. For myself as well, I'd like to my own soul ask, can I remain and believe all my sins forgiven? I promise to believe. You can also remain. Believe all the sins forgiven. There's a lot of power in grace, and there's a lot of strength in blood. In Jesus' name and dear atoning blood, all the sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we have on this finishing this Sunday night services. Be with us next night. Give us, each of us, a safe night's sleep. Give us that we each could peacefully sleep and be refreshed for the next day. Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, shine up your face unto us and give us thy mercy. Lord, turn your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.